So I say, be a futurist. Think 30 years from now. Do not think of the status quo. If you're building a terminal building for 30 years, think of how the passengers, the aircraft, and situations are going to be 30 years from now. So be a futurist. Secondly, I think of the big picture of the entire airport. Remember that there is an FBO or a general aviation section that deals with. In my concept, that whole thing would be moved to the other side of the airport, and the terminal building would go where that is now, which would have much more space. It wouldn't conflict with the terminal building being on top of the terminal building now and create all sorts of problems. Thirdly, I didn't have a chance to write it all out, that it has to do with the security. The big picture, as we know, going on in the world right now, whether it's in New Zealand, Sri Lanka, etc., is security. And since this is a town where we have world-class passengers coming in from all sorts of places, it's not Durango. This is Aspen. So we have to think of security in that regard.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I kind of echo some of the same things that Tom has echoed.
So actually, can I interrupt you for just one second? That's what I'm... Just to change that. So if we end up having the same sticky at the end, where I'm going to read through them a little bit, and I'm going to take off, and if I will read them out so that if they are different, truly, even though the words may be the same, I want you to, I want only one safety sticky note up there and that type of thing. But if there is a vast difference between the safety, I will leave both sticky notes. Does that make sense? Is everyone okay with me doing that? Okay, sorry, proceed.
Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, I've worked at the airport in security, and my job was line management a couple years ago to try to get all those people through the line into their boarding area. And needless to say, we made a few little improvements, but we didn't. And I definitely feel that we need the right size terminal and new terminal. So that's the first one. I'll put underneath Tom, security. Is that one here, Tom?
The third one.
Okay. So it needs to be safe, comfortable, and right-sized. And I think that it needs to fit in with the airport design guidelines.
Okay.
And there's certain specifications that are needed, like so many feet from your suitcase to the hand. And then I brought this up before, and I really don't want to go public with this, but one of my major concerns right now is the fact that what's happened is, I think most of you know that the restaurant area was turned into more of a secure boarding area. And that was a result of after I worked there. What happened this year was that they realized that they couldn't fit everybody in there, so now they're stacking everybody outside of the sterile boarding area into where people come in to check in to leave. So what's happened is people are actually having to wait outside the terminal with their suitcases to try to get a boarding pass or to get through the line. My job this past winter was to stand out on the curb and tell people they couldn't park out there, and it's a really prime example of terrorists come up with a bomb, they go in, they throw it in, there's hundreds of people, there's not one security person in that area. Not one person with a gun, not one person with a badge, no one. You have a little parking attendants that are going, ma'am, you can't park here right now. And I don't know how we can kickstart that, but we need to do something for that this winter. So then the other thing is when planes are stranded, one of the things that's really heart-wrenching for me is when there's a family, a plane full of families, there's nowhere for them to stay at night. And maybe possibly a hotel, a small hotel, just for overnight people, like a hostel type of thing, because the Hyatt's $1,000 a bedroom. And Tom, I know, brought forward that idea. And then people are crying because I can't afford the $500 to rent the car. So I'll put that one here, because that's a hotel. And then transportation. And this is a project that I've been working on for probably 10 years in spurts and bits and pieces. But it's an aerial connection with, you get off of the plane, you get on an aerial, you can go into Aspen, Snowmass along Highway 82, it goes down to Brush Creek, intercept lot, and then goes up to Snowmass. The ski company wants to do the top of the mountain connection. What I'm trying to do is an urban style gondola along Highway 82. Can you imagine? People walk right off their plane, they can get an aerial, they can go to Aspen, Snowmass, they can go to Buttermilk, and what's the fourth mountain?
Highlands.
And miss the roundabout.
Yes, and then we get the cars out of the road, and it's doable because it's a land use application as opposed to opening up the whole entrance to Aspen, and it's what the, how they did it over in Beaver Creek. Thank you so much.
We should make the gondola go around the circle so they get that experience.
Oh, that would be great. I like that idea, Sheldon.
Mine's pretty simple. When the first time I came here, the airport was a trailer on cinder blocks. Okay? And that was interesting. And the new airport was okay. Okay, for the time, it was okay. And then, as many of you know, TSA has basically taken over the whole friggin' airport. So, mine are rather simple. And when we talked about the airport experience, food.
So, like a restaurant?
Yeah, like a restaurant.
Okay. I just wanted clarification.
Well, more detail for me is what do you mean by food? Like good food? Like what?
I mean, if somebody has to wait, okay, which happens a lot at this airport, they can get something to eat that isn't, you know, something wrapped in saran wrap out of a machine.
Okay.
So more choices.
I know if you go to DIA.
Yes.
You can walk around DIA, go into all kinds of restaurants, get barbecue. I'm not expecting that here.
Okay.
But I am expecting decent food. Okay?
Two.
Okay. Oops.
Two. Whoops. Oh, my food fell. Five-second rule. You can still eat that. Okay. Drink. Once again, there used to be a bar there.
Okay, so that kind of drink.
Yes.
Okay.
There was never anybody there. You know, once things... There was hardly anybody in that bar.
Right.
Okay, so you're waiting for a passenger, you're sitting there waiting for your flight. You know, a lot of people get nervous when they fly. Some people just like to drink. It's Aspen. Okay? maybe we could make it a marijuana bar. I don't know. And then lastly, comfort. Okay, you're sitting around, you're waiting, your flight's delayed. You need to have a comfortable place to hang while you're waiting. And a lot of airports, they don't have hotels in the airport, so people crash on the couches and stuff like that. I'm looking for this to be a better experience for people that are stuck at the airport. Because most good days, you're in, you're out. You know, you want to get to town as fast as you can. You want to get off the ground as fast as you can. But I think these are a necessity for an airport.
I wasn't ready. I thought I had one more.
Oh, come on, Brian.
Sorry, I'm skipping Brian.
So I tried to keep mine relatively succinct because I tend to be verbose. Okay. And I thought of probably more higher level.
My first thought was efficiency with economy. I believe that the airport needs to have the processes and the ability to manage a large amount of people quickly and efficiently,
okay,
but not be overbuilt. Built to, I don't want to say a minimalist scale, but not in a grandiose fashion in terms of making a monument to technology or to soaring glass ceilings.
So not built that you're the fifth largest airport.
Correct. My second two are kind of following on that theme, because I also think that the airport should be an introduction to the Aspen experience, mind, body, and spirit, and have a reflection of our core, the things, you know, the Aspen Institute, the music festival, the world-class skiing, the outdoors, the nature, because people come here to experience those. And even though as a local I may want to get in and out of the airport quickly, it's nice to be reminded of why we live here and the things that we hold value and the reasons that we came to live here. So with efficiency economy, I put ability to grow, because I think it's always important to think about making sure that the design is such that it can be added onto and modified in stages as we grow or technology adapts, to make sure we can take advantage of those different technologies or services that may be represented down the road.
Okay.
I recently was at the Vancouver airport, and if you go in there, there's a lot of exhibits about the native cultures and about the native peoples, and it's beautifully designed, and it's actually a pleasure to walk through. It looks very, it doesn't look sterile, it's warm, it's welcoming, and it's a gigantic airport. Okay. But I think introducing some of the things that make Aspen special. And then lastly, I think that it should be representative of Aspen ideals in terms of our focus on reducing carbon footprint, recycling, minimizing energy usage, maintaining small footprints, minimalist design. I think that those are more mechanical aspects to it versus the experiential things, which could be exhibits or informational pieces where people, when they land here, they feel like they're somewhere different. It's not just another airport, because they came to Aspen for a reason, to experience something unique and different. And I think when they land, they should feel a weight kind of lifted off there. Oh, I'm here. What a great place. I'm experiencing this the minute I step off the plane. There's something to introduce me to all the things that make this place special. And I see reflected within here commitments to the environment, commitments to recycling, commitments to whatever all of our ideals that we hold important.
Just for me, on the last two, can you read what you wrote? So
efficiency with economy, okay. Ability to grow, mm-hmm. Introduction of the Aspen experience, okay. And representative of the Aspen ideals.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we put our names on those pieces?
I think Jeff, I channeled Jeff. For an elected, I'm pretty soft-spoken and succinct. Value one, efficiency in operations, right size now and for future.
Wow. Pretty, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of dead on.
Yeah. Value two, environmentally conscious and carbon emission minimalist. For as much carbon as planes emit, that's a goal. Not growth producing, yet service our needs.
Okay.
What was that last one, Ward?
Not growth producing, yet service our needs.
Yeah. 95% of passengers arrive at a regional solution within 1/2 hour of their scheduled arrival.
Okay.
And John Kenny is going to have to show that he saw the region's airports as competitor. He is now willing to convene a regional meeting of all of the different airports to discuss a regional solution.
Okay.
So I'll read it again.
Okay.
95% of passengers arrive at a regional solution within 1/2 hour of their scheduled arrival.
What does that mean?
Okay.
So 95% of...
of the passengers...
On-time flights? You get to where you're going.
95% of the passengers...
You get to a regional airport.
Regional solution.
It may not be Aspen, but it's...
Yes.
Is that what you're meaning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Within half an hour of when they were supposed to get there. Okay.
Second, no passenger is ever dumped in Denver again.
I have been that's a goal. Okay.
I have been dumped in Denver at least 50 times, and there's nothing there. Get dumped in Grand Junction, you get a bus.
Right.
Get dumped in Denver, zip. Zero. I don't know how the people who come here can have any kind of experience if they start out dumped in Denver. And that happens to thousands of our passengers. Not hundreds, not dozens, thousands. We need some kind of an experience from where you get dumped or don't get dumped.
And that's a contrast, too, with the length of your flight. If you're coming in from Chicago or L.A., they have a bigger investment in you, and they'll more likely find something in Grand Junction or whatever.
Well, most of the time, you get dumped in Denver. With no transportation, nothing.
So is your goal then, if you
this is my first goal, this is my second goal, because
so
they follow
never
one
getting
follow.
Dumped in Denver again, right. Or you can be dumped in Denver as long as there is, like Grand Junction,
because it's four.
That's what I'm asking.
No,
I just
because in the wintertime it's 8 hours away and you can't get over the passes.
That's all I mean.
So it's a combination of these two.
Okay.
And then the third, and by the way, my wife's on the vision committee, We went to the airport and took a tour.
Okay.
I want to just say to all of you, because we're the experience committee, Kenny told us we're the only two people and anybody on any of the committees that's come for a tour. He's ready for every one of you come for a tour if you want to go. And I strongly, strongly recommend that it is impossible for us to do our jobs if you haven't toured the airport, which doesn't mean the passengers. So my third is this. The working environment at the airport for everyone who works there is a safe and enjoyable place to work. Today, it is neither safe nor enjoyable to work there. And I think that that's a very, very important part of the experience that we have to provide to the people who make us safe and look after us. Mm-hmm. And it's not safe, and it's not enjoyable.
Good point. Good point.
All right. So we're sort of in line with where we've been, but needing the space to accommodate inevitable long delays and peak season crowds. I want it to be right-sized, but I know there are times when you are stuck there for hours and hours and hours on end, which is why you need food and drink. You need to be able to be secure. You need a place to sit and be able to wheel your bag to where you're sitting. That would be great. So accommodating, I'm not sure where that goes.
Is that called right-size?
I mean, right size is also big enough to accommodate, so I think right size is often used to mean not too big.
Correct.
I don't know. Yes, it can go with food, drink, and comfort, because that's all those three.
It can be its own.
Together.
Yeah.
Economic sustainability of our resort community. This includes the runway, of course, in the Terminal 2, but being able to accommodate multiple airlines that can provide competition, allow competition, so that pricing, we don't price people out of the market of being able to come to Aspen and Snowmass. And then just the continued resort demands as we grow, not overgrow, but as we continue to expand our seasons and become even more year-round, vital year-round. So just economic sustainability as a whole, making sure ability to grow. And then top-notch security, without a doubt. We have so many. All of us deserve to be incredibly secure, but there are a lot of people who are certainly more targeted than where we are. Security.
Yeah. Ready? Pardon my cold here. So fit. I think the airport. I go to a lot of different airports. Some fit in with their local environment. Some do not. I'm not an artist or a design person, but I do appreciate when I go into something and I like to be there. I like the way it looks. I like the way it fits in with the environment. So I think just fitting into the valley, right? Not being an eyesore when you drive by it. When you go into it, you want it to feel like a nice place. And when you're coming in from outside, it gives you your first experience with the valley, right? Service, part of, I think, what makes a flying experience better is not having too many connections. So I think maintaining the level of air service we have now is paramount. Getting more air service would be great, but there's trade-offs and things like that. But, maintaining what we have now, I think, is important. Selfishly, makes my life a lot easier when I'm on the road. And then inclusion. A lot of airports, and I shop around for flights for work, Grand Junction, Eagle in particular, they're not cheaper. A lot of times they're more expensive, right? I feel like we have a pretty inclusive airport here, and I'd like to see it continue to be that way. Like Eagle in particular, it's so expensive to fly to. Maybe they drive to Denver. Maybe that's just the way their revenue management works. But, here it's not like that. In fact, it's cheaper a lot of times to fly internationally out of here, at least through Concur, than it is you go to Denver and then fly to, say, like Ireland or something, right? So, yeah, be inclusive of the entire community and the visitors.
Okay. Hi. Well, as a designer, I'd like to have a unique design experience specific to Aspen and our local character. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd be concerned, like, how does that grow? Because our town is changing, too. And so that's the first one.
Okay.
Just anywhere?
Just anywhere.
Sure. Okay. You know, someday, I think it would be cool to connect the town via some sort of light rail. I guess, akin to what Tony was saying. And the third thing I was thinking of is the AAVC going to be developed too? With, you know, what's going to happen to the AAV? Well, I mean,
the AAVC?
Yeah, I suppose we don't care necessarily, but I don't know, maybe something that could be developed in conjunction too, because it's kind of run down a little bit.
I heard from somebody that's not an option. Mm-hmm. I thought of that too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's going to keep it the way it is.
It's kind of. Mm-hmm. Skeevy,
except for housing,
right?
BMC West.
Well, that's not McBride though. McBride is all of
as part of the ABC.
Right. Well, yeah.
And it's not. It's outside the scope of what the airport development is all about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an amenity to the airport. So I think it's valid that you're looking that way. It's just beyond what this project is about.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Right. Well, those were the three things.
Thank you.
Yeah?
That's good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My first theme is inclusive, accessible, and affordable, so I'm reflecting Virginia. I'm going to put it right over here. Virginia, you have economic sustainability and inclusive, and that is welcoming to all, so it's not a prep point. Functional, efficient, and integrated. And Tom, this is your futurist, I think. Kind of what I was going for is that we're not tying ourselves into any one solution. So where is futurist?
The first one on the left.
I'm going to work on some skills for your handwriting. And then flexible and adaptable. So
there is. Okay. Perfect. Yep. Thank you very much, everybody. All right. So I think what I was kind of hearing, and maybe you will disagree with me, it sounds like a lot of you are kind of in the same general vicinity, mm-hmm. or have some ideas. I mean, there are, you know, are others, but kind of along the same vein, if you will. So, with that in mind, here's that.
It's also interesting to note that a lot of your comments reflect some of the shortcomings of the current facility. So they're aspirational. I think that's really good. You know, you're looking
Thank you.
For...
Thank you. Welcome.
This is a future plan. This is a... We're supposed to think 30 years out, and that's exactly what you just did. So I think that's good. It's aspirational, and you want something that your community can be really proud of and also serves functions, too.
Are we supposed to use all three?
If you want to. You don't have, I mean, they are yours to use how you okay. want. So
we have three to use.
You have three votes.
Are we going to group some together or just leave them up here like
yeah,
this?
Let's,
what do you think?
Well, you guys were kind, you were doing a
similar.
Good job.
Yeah
you were doing a good job of doing that. So
self-police that
let's
way.
See here. So inclusive, accessible, affordable, which kind of goes with the, I mean, you guys were putting in economics, sustainability of our resort community.
This,
that's a
I think
little
this
different.
Kind of goes...
These so this inclusion in this, yeah. It's, are we agreeing that inclusive, accessible, affordable, and inclusion kind of went together? Am I okay to put these two together? Okay. Inclusive, accessible, affordable. So mm-hmm. I have functional, efficient, and integrated. I remember seeing that quite a bit, which I think was going with the flexible, adaptive.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
And also
is everybody okay
futurist.
With that?
I think futurist goes with that
and
too.
Futurist went there
because that's along the same theme.
Making sure everybody's can still be seen, but they're all kind of on the same vein. Does that work? I don't know if that'll stick, but we'll see. Okay. Think the big picture. Think in the big picture. Aircraft, passenger.
Yeah, Tom, we're going to have to work on the handwriting.
That's because he's a doctor.
FEO terminal.
FEO, okay.
Yeah. He is a doctor.
He is a doctor. That's what I was thinking.
We have unanimous consent about everything. We're respectful of each other. So why do we really have to narrow it down to 3 points?
You don't have to. It's not 3 points. It's not three. It's I want to see where everybody kind of is. You guys don't want to do the exercise. You don't have to, but...
No, it's a good exercise.
Yeah. It's just, see where it is.
Where
the most minds are, but then also, are there outliers? Are there things that we're not bringing up? So, food, drink, comfort. Yeah. I think we're good with this. Fit. I was kind of going, the fit is also along with the...
So you have, like, right size and fit.
Right size and fit. But I took fit to be a little, like, more design, more like the look, the feel, that kind of thing. Am I wrong there?
I'm flexible. You can
grow. No, it's okay. Yeah, so I think we're good. I mean, just kind of put that over there.
And there's the security aspect of it.
And the security, yes. There were multiple securities, weren't there? They went here. So top-notch security and security, these two went together. They're very close, so I don't want to cut anybody's writing off. So we'll do that.
And then there's a lot and environmental.
And not to, since it was clearly identified on the agenda, that in addition to safety, which is paramount for all of us.
Yes.
Correct.
To me, I would consider security and safety kind of a given.
It sounds like safety was related to the aircraft, right?
How the airport... was my understanding.
And I don't mean to, quite the contrary. I inferred that was like the paramount thing, and everything else was subsequent to that, so not to take away anything from it. I didn't know if there was merit in terms of continuing
to
highlight that.
Like what Tony is saying, I take that a little different than the safety of... the airport from a landing and how, planes getting in and out and that.
And that's a really good point that you just brought up, because a lot of people lump some of those two together, but they're really two different animals. Mm-hmm. So that's really good.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to invite you guys up to go ahead and put your dots on.
And would you encourage us, discourage us, or is there no rules in terms of, I would think, I would feel awkward choosing my own, so should we look at this in the spirit of looking at...
No one's going to know what you're
choosing my own.
Why you're all coming up at the same time.
Okay.
You choose your own, I have no idea. You put all three on your own, you had three people vote for you. Whether it was you or three different people.
If nobody sees you, it's like...
Here, I'll turn my back like this. Will that make you feel that?
You grab that.
Can we lump food and drink together?
Yes, I will. With that.
Would you like it?
How about if I combine
them together? I could do that very easily.
Okay.
Especially if it's a good time. So, when you had a moment...
Would you say, order of comfort, would you say that also accommodates long layovers?
Yes. Say that again?
Comfort, whoever wrote comfort and whoever wrote long layovers, would you say that that was what you were accommodating long layover people?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I sense that's not
so
like
I'm gonna
massage
put
chairs.
Comfort.
Like have a place to sit.
Yeah, there you go.
No hot tubs?
Yeah.
Ski Co's putting hot tubs out now.
Yes. ASC spa.
You
know,
you're
the Airport Business Center would be great to, like, really spruce it up. But John McBride has made it that's, like, a local thing. So I don't know if there's ever going to be any changes over there. But it would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I could see a hotel.
Here.
A hotel instead of parking.
That would be nice.
I
did not
get
attracted.
I guess unlikely.
I will get your trash.
At least we got an underpass.
I got this
to connect. That was nice.
Nice.
I came
home,
I said, what do you think of this? She says, it looks like you're going to shoot out of high school.
too dark.
Yeah, it was a little too...
Yeah, this is nice. We're great for a day like today, huh? Absolutely.
when the Boeing gets in there and gets scraped?
Probably sometime, hopefully in the next 12 to 18 months. We're on that kind of trajectory. Don't quote me.
Is the hotel with the comfort or accommodations? This goes under here. So.
Just about the same time as maybe Lifthorn Lodge might start doing activities. So, separate project from the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe put in demolitions.
All the permits and designs are going through the process right now. So, yeah.
I think there's a kind of security emergency right now. Something has to be done.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. I guess maybe I just saw safety as being encompassing of security.
But I agree with that.
I think the initial, everybody had, like,
they have
the
comes in the third floor.
They
did up there. That, well, there was another one, I think. Oh, okay. So we were over there, they're like, this floor,
everyone? Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess I kind of thought that the TSA and security element kind of fell under that same umbrella as well as mechanical.
Oh, I will. Yeah. Oh, trust me, this is all going to be recorded. Don't worry.
Take a picture before they fall down.
Okay, do that too.
Give 3M feedback. Glue needs to be a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I'm a 3M. Yeah. Come on, you're not helping me stick to a wall.
Well, they make a super sticky one.
Look, I've got a bunch of sticky ones.
For your next, brainstorming session.
Which one first?
Also used to remove wallpaper.
Yeah, it is.
Further
with this one. It'll make it extra sticky by putting that over there. Okay. These three. I'm just move them over here because they are all related. At least I think that's what people were trying to do with them, grouping them together.
So there's four.
Yeah. So
two
we have
threes.
Three. Oh, we have four. Two fours. A couple of three threes. Maybe four threes. Type of thing. So yeah. You still kind of are. I mean, you have, efficient one, which is the environmentally friendly, environmentally conscious, carbon emissions, that type of thing. And then the comfort / accommodate long delays. And then the threes are the economic sustainability, flexible, adaptable, functional, futurist. And then this three one right here is the unique decision. Mm-hmm. Oh, unique design experience and special to Aspen. So character, being local when you arrive, that type of thing. So.
And then the
security. But you guys are still kind of all over. I mean, you put your.
We want it all.
This is what I kind of like seeing this. I mean, when we were talking, it sounded very much like. Yes.
I. Two comments from everything that was stuck up there. I think most people, unless they get stuck or stranded, don't care about the airport. Mm-hmm. They want to go in one door and out the other and get on, or they want to go in one door and get on a plane and get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. It's not until what hits the fan that there's a problem. And the airlines are a big part of that problem because they just lie like crazy. If you could go back into town and go back to sleep and have a couple of drinks, they want you there in the airport because your plane might take off even though there's 10 feet of snow on the runway.
Uh-huh.
The other one I thought was real interesting was this should be a preview to the Aspen experience. So when you land, you should look in the airport and you should have an idea of what's going on. Why? I think the last time I was at the airport or something like that, there was a giant backlit poster of a Rolex watch. And I was thinking, isn't that a preview of the Aspen experience?
And I pick up on that by just reminding everybody that we are the third lowest arrival on time airport in the United States.
Oh,
we're
only
two ahead of us. On all the routes in America, we're number three.
Wow.
That's a fact.
Per capita, obviously. Yeah,
that's our fate.
Per capita? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's our fate. So that's why I'm picking up on this gentleman's question.
There's a reason for it.
Of
course there is.
Weather.
We can't do anything
about it. Not at 5,000 feet, at 8,000 feet. Yeah.
I just wonder what people thought about Sheldon's comment that people just want to move through the airport as long as they're on time and everything's flowing. They're trying to get to the next destination.
So if we have a right-sized airport, does that solve that solution?
Yeah, it's got to be designed right, direct the free to flow through it when things are going well.
There's some things you can't control, and the weather is one of them.
Correct.
And that's the reason I think we are down on the list of on-time arrivals and departures. I mean, everybody wants to be on one of Rich's mountains. You can't get in or out. And that's the nature of the beast. So we have to have something that's comfortable, and I don't know how much we want people to be drinking alcohol, but certainly eating food and being relaxed, a comfortable place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really like to have people arrive within a half an hour of the time that they expected, 95% of the time, the way you do at most airports.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's aspirational, but the weather doesn't cooperate.
Ah, but we have regional opportunities.
Regional opportunities.
Well, people in Garfield are interested in talking to us. Huge airport unused.
It's a fact. Don't they tell you now, like, you have to be at the airport?
Everybody in Eagle's got to drive between 45 minutes and an hour to get back to Vail. Nobody complains. Fact.
So you're suggesting more utilization of Eagle Vale?
No, I'm suggesting using Rifle.
I didn't think they were interested.
Oh, I can assure you they would like to have a regional meeting board. That's what Mr. Kinney told me. That's why I went and visited the airport. I wanted to know what the man thought, not just what he said in public. And he said, because in public, if you recall, he said, oh, there are competition. I was shocked. Unbelievable. So I went to see the man. I said, no. I think we should have a regional meeting, and we should understand what all the options are for all the different airports. Then he said,
do you have any tape?
I don't.
And nobody gets
it. So you stick it out to hold it on, but that would probably blow the graphic.
That would.
Get in, get out, on time.
So.
But don't they tell you now you're supposed to show up at the airport like 3 hours early or something?
At least two.
Yeah, 2 hours early.
At least two. That's annoying.
And the only reason for that, in my mind, is that very often, because Aspen's ridiculous to get there 3 hours early, but the only reason I can come up with is sometimes they just take off before the takeoff time. And then when you go, wait a minute, I was here before, and they go, well, yeah, you were supposed to be here 2 hours earlier.
In answer to your question about Sheldon, I think people do want to just pass through an airport. They don't want to sit around for 3 hours. They don't want to sit around for 2 hours. They'd rather get their boarding pass, get on the plane, and get out of here.
Right. But unfortunately, we don't live in a climate that allows for that on a regular basis.
So then be comfortable with me. Okay.
Tony? So 2 points. And the reason why they asked for the 2 hours is because there's a time factor. Like TSA, there's so many minutes per person that it takes to get through the line. And if someone has something that they need to screen longer, it adds an extra 15 or 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the one person trying to get through the TSA line. It's the whole plane trying to get through. And then when I think about the right size of the airport, if we moved, I think we have 7 gates now. We're going up to 10 gates. That's 70 passengers. Yeah. No?
We don't know that yet.
We have no idea.
Well, let's
there
just
are four gates now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are four
gates.
How
many planes could be on the tarmac at the same time? Six, four gates, but six positions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
I'm at the 7th gate this year on American Direct to Dallas.
Right. I think it was up to 8.
Piggyback it in there.
Yeah, I think they got it up to 8, but definitely 7. But let's go with 6. So there's 70 passengers on the plane, and everybody can't get out. So that's 420 people that have to wait for the weather to get out. That's not including the 420 people that are coming in to take off. So that's 880 people. So I'll go through those numbers again. So let's see.
I'm actually just going to write your question down about how many gates there are.
Okay.
I think we need that's a good thing to get clarified. just because...
Well, this is, for the future, there's going to be more gates than there are now.
If you decide to increase the airport, that's, that is, no decision has been made. So it's a, if you decide, if the public, if the board decides based on what is recommended, decides to, you know, increase, change the airport, then that's how, it, nothing has been decided at this point. And I can assure you that from... working with the technical.
So let's say there's 70 this is what my job was at the airport, to calculate how many people on a plane, how long was it going to take to get them through, who we had to hold back, and who we could bring forward. So it's 70 passengers per plane, and there's six planes, that's 420 people who can't get out, and they have to wait there, and they have all their suitcases, their luggage, their dogs, their stroller, all that. Then the people that are coming in, then you have the next group of people coming in, 2 hours early. So basically what we did was we doubled the number, so we needed enough space for 880 people. Okay. And that number can change, but that's how you kind of figure it out. And
it's one of the current challenges, no question.
And people definitely want to get in and they want to get out. Yeah. And then the one thing that I learned worked really well when you had screaming kids at the airport and everybody yelling at each other, puppies. Puppies work great. I would bring my little puppies into the airport, and it was like, oh, it's a puppy. And I know some airports have kids' rooms, mm-hmm. you know, where kids can wait.
So you're thinking along the comfort lines.
Comfort lines.
Maybe we have a room that, you know, something like a mother's room, that type of
right.
thing.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
all right.
When somebody brought up the question of gates, I was wondering, has anybody made a decision yet as to whether... we're going to have to walk out onto the tarmac like we do now, or whether it's going to be like a modern airport. No decisions have been made.
It's my understanding that that's the whole premise behind
this
process.
Whole thing
so
is,
for us to kind of jump the gun and
correct,
you know, and
correct, yes,
pre-decide what may be bad and then make decisions based on that is
right.
not the most productive use.
But right now, we're
coming up with a good thought and a well thought out process to give feedback to the development process as a better use of time rather than worry about worst case scenarios.
Exactly. And feeding off of that, I think what I'm hearing is it may be beneficial to have somebody explain, like, how many gates are currently at the airport and being used. Maybe there is, I don't know, maybe there is an American Airlines that's sneaking up, you know, that I have no idea, I don't know that. But that's a good question. Maybe we need that information in order to go back, you know, make these decisions.
John Kinney gave us that information when we took the tour.
Okay.
It's very clear.
Good to know.
I'm not going to touch it. It's technical, but
uh-huh. right.
It's very clear.
I don't know
how many we have and how many. Estonians have. How many people you can
sort of during the peak period, the airlines do bring in extra lift. That's pretty common.
And the biggest problem, as Tony said right now, is that next winter we're going to have a lot of people sitting outside of the airport entirely.
Uh-huh.
And they can't park in their cars. Uh-huh. So they're going to be standing outside with their bags outside of the
building. Outside.
Just understand that's next winter. Only because they've already had the downside. I'm sorry, what? You already had the downside for fire and other reasons.
Right.
The number of people who can be inside the building. So I don't know if you've been, all of you have been watching, but the signs for occupancy have been coming down in numbers
uh-huh.
consistently. Because, in fact, we were outside the fire code. So the numbers that actually can be accommodated inside the building are less than we were used to. And if you look at that, those numbers, when you go and visit, you will see, Tony was just saying, that essentially next winter there will be our kids and our grandchildren or what have you will be essentially standing outside.
Just going to let it sit there.
Just the way, that's just the reality of where we are even now.
Can I ask if this, I have this assumption, and I wonder if it's actually true, that if we increase the size of the runway and therefore allow for larger aircraft, that do we have a better chance at more completion of flights? So can they land a bigger plane in bad conditions?
Uh-huh.
No?
That I think is, we can design an airport for today's numbers, for the number of gates that today's airplanes handle. So I think that you're exactly right. I think we have to coordinate with the technical committee. Correct. To find out, we shouldn't be looking at gates, we should be looking at passengers. How many people do we want to move? And if the new gen of regional jets, the airport, I think, has to accommodate the next gen of jets. And if those jets, they require the full 400-foot separation, and they're going to be larger, so you can get conceivably as many people off of one plane in one gate as you are on two planes and two gates now. So efficiency in numbers in the next gen plane, if we're talking 30 years and it's probably going to be 10 years before it's built, by the time it's built, the CRJ-700 may not even be in service.
And to you, just my understanding, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, and I just want to clarify your question for when I take it back. No matter what we do, we're not making the runway longer. We might make it wider to fit. Okay, I just
want to really, whether or not that improves our ability to land.
Okay, in snow, planes, like maybe a bigger plane can. And I'm so not technical, but a heavier plane can land in, you know. I don't know.
That reliability is not a factor of the size of the airplane. It's a factor of the weather conditions and what's been determined to be a safe height, where if the pilot doesn't see the pavement, it's not coming in. Now, there are advances in avionics that allow airplanes to come in under, you know, certain conditions of adverse weather, but there are huge safety margins built into that, and because of the surrounding terrain, that's always going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. Now, more modern aircraft, for example, the CRJ, the one that's all three airlines fly, it'll retire someday, and they'll replace
sooner
it with...
Sooner than later.
Yeah, next 5-6 years, something like that. They'll replace it with a more modern airplane that has, more efficient engine, quieter, less pollutant. Performance-wise, it's something that the FAA is always moving towards improving, but never at the expense of safety. So those safety margins will never change. And in an environment like this, an aircraft operating environment, you'll always have very conservative safety margins, which results in diversions, results in flights that aren't going to land because it's not the circumstances aren't right for that airplane to go below a certain deck.
Even if it's a bigger, more sophisticated
aircraft,
it still can't.
It won't change the decision-making on how low they're willing to go. The terrain will always be, because that's one of the biggest factors around the airport. And so they'll always build in safety margins, whether it's a plane that fits on the current runway taxiway separation or when they make it 80 feet further apart, an airplane with a larger wingspan can come in, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come in under all conditions. You're always going to have that in a place like this.
The ability to take off with one engine fail and get out of the stalley is the key.
Uh-huh. I have a question about the airplanes again. Does commercial or private have any advantage when the weather is bad? In other words, I was told a long time ago, and I'm probably wrong, that...
No.
No?
No.
First come, first serve.
Okay, no, but what I was told was during certain conditions, when it's snowing and really bad out, that the commercial planes have to follow set procedures and set rules, whereas the private planes coming out did not. It was pretty much up to the pilots. Skill level and whether he thought he could get in.
They all have rules that they follow. A lot of the corporates that come in are NetJets, and they have very strict flight rules and safety procedures. So it's, they don't let cowboys fly those things. They follow the same, not maybe the exact same procedures, but it's all based on the performance of the airplane and the experience of the person in the cockpit. So it is based on that.
Just again, so everybody has a visual. When we went to visit the airport we learned that there's actually no way to move anything toward toward snowmass. So anything that has to move because of the constraints of what the land that would have to be condemned, which no one's willing to do, mm-hmm. everything has to move toward the terminal. So just imagine the space that we have there. If there were to be any changes, they have to. It has to move back toward the Aspen Business Center. But there's no option to go the other way. Kenny was explaining that to us. Because there was, at one point, some pictures that suggested that they could take land to the other side and move that way. So that in theory, you'd have more room for your terminal and other things. But in fact, they have to move the other direction, if they move at all. Again, just so you think about that. Just so you have that in your minds. Because that is the actual constraints on the land. And they're also, it looks like it's flat. It's not. So I just, again, when we went there to see it and walked it and actually understood what's possible on the land, there are more constraints than I think I had understood before I went to look. The other thing is that on the avionics, as this gentleman was saying, there, in theory, you could take the 1,200-foot ceiling down to 240 feet with the avionics. But the problem is, if there's a problem, probably you run right into Aspen Mountain. So, again, there are very important constraints that we have to deal with that are just simply the reality of this place. But again, I would really urge you, I'm sorry to say it a third time, go take a look. Yeah. Go and actually walk the land, walk the place and take a look.
And then after Tom, I want to get to the next part.
A few weeks ago, I read in Bloomberg Business about how a higher proportion of travelers now are using private aircraft where they can lease them part-time and their financial advantages of this.
Here in Aspen or everywhere?
Everywhere.
Okay.
So do you expect in the future for a greater proportion of passengers to be coming in through that FBO or general aviation and the proportion of scheduled airlines to decline them all, or not grow as fast?
There are different models being explored for, I mean, there's the model where you own the jet outright, and then there's one where you own the fraction of it, and there's one where you lease it through a NetJets, so you're sort of part of a club. There are new models coming out that are experimenting with it. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never seen them move the needle a whole lot. At one point, there were the very light jets, the small 4-6 person that were supposed to revolutionize everything, and everybody was going to be flying those, and it never materialized. I think the economics really favor extremely wealthy people being able to do that, and most people, like, think by commercial. I think that, when we look, though, at the forecast of the future demand, which will be discussed at next week's meeting, there's a new forecast that's being developed for Aspen. They haven't looked at one in a while, and that will also look at the fleet. It'll look at the demand and the various influences of demand, and it will look at both the private planes as well as the scheduled commercial planes, and it'll frame those based on what the economist who's doing that study believes is the case of what generates the demand. But the overwhelming amount is going to be commercial.
Just out of curiosity, so when we hear that, are they going to be looking at the 5,000 to 8,000 new people that will be living in the middle of the valley?
Yes.
Oh, this is critical. I mean, I've been listening to the different meetings and reading everything I could, as all of us are, but I haven't heard anybody yet actually quantify the amount of development that's already going to be permitted in the Mid-Valley, and all of those are going to be upper-middle-class people. The houses there will be 900 to 1,000,003.
You'll see data on that.
Good, because they're going to be wanting to use an airport. They're all going to be traveling.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anybody discuss yet not just here, but in any of the meetings.
It's coming.
It's coming.
The impact of all of those new people. Those are not people moving down from here there, down to River Valley Ranch, the way lots of our friends have. No, those are all new people that will be living in those houses. And
In fact, I saw some, so we're getting some information from them, and they're even going so far as to, like, sewer count. Like, how much sewage is being used. That's a perfect example of your current...
Experience committee, it's critical to know what the actual built environment is going to
be. And we're going to get to that on May 7th. So, yes, we will get to that on May 7th.
Absolutely, cover that.
So, we don't have very much time left. I think maybe a half an hour. Am I accurate?
Yeah, you are. Okay. We need to get through this next.
So, what I want to hear from you, and I think we kind of did this with this, but I would like to hear at least one comment from all of you, because hearing from everyone is why we're here. What do you, I know we said three when we were talking about it, or what's your vision, and we gave you four bullet points, but what is your vision for the airport in 30 years? And can you do that in 30 seconds or less? And I am going to, if I raise my hand, I need you to wrap it up. Because I do want to hear from everyone, okay? And then there might be some discussion after that, okay? I'm just going to start over here, go around.
I'd like, of course, the airport to be safe and secure, but I would, this is my dream. People get to the airport, they walk out, they get on the gondola, and if they want to go to Aspen, they go to Aspen, Snowmass, they go down Brush Creek up, and that's what my vision is.
So...
And there is a landing spot for...
Is the gondola your vision, or is it the transportation and immediate, easy, no roundabout... Like,
it's a gondola. It's an actual aerial gondola. Okay. And we have easements in place. We've got landing. We've got a lot of things in place already.
All right.
So you walk off the plane. If you want to go to Aspen, you get on that gondola. Go to Aspen. If you want to Snowmass, go down Brush Creek, up Brush Creek Road. You can go to Highlands.
Okay.
The marketing tool would be Power of Four. Okay. Connect the airport with the Power of Four.
Okay.
All right. I think... money and the FAA are going to determine a lot of the way this airport looks. So my feeling about the experience is I would like everybody who goes through that airport to have a warm, welcoming experience.
Warm, welcoming experience.
Nice.
Got it.
Fuzzy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fuzzy.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a minute to write, and then...
No, I'm still formulating thoughts.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. I will let you formulate a thought.
So, you know, what I keep coming back to is I believe in 30 years that technology is going to increase so dramatically that the need for an 8,000-foot runway won't exist. And I think it's important that we look at ways to descale as well as increase scale, and that we consider and we hold paramount that any acreage or facilities that can be decommissioned are kept in a natural state versus identified as additional development.
So can I rephrase that?
You can do whatever you want with it.
To say our design, when it's designed, whatever we've decided, right, type of thing, it's designed to increase or decrease as needed, but then the land that, if it gets decreased, is kept for natural parks, open space, something along the, or, you know, buffer.
I think that that should be something that's kept in at a long-term vision.
For future expansion.
Right size, flexible design.
Expansion for the future.
Respect nature.
Yeah, because there's going to be crazy, like, spaceship-type stuff 30 years from now, I'm convinced, that aren't going to need a long runway with engines to land and take off.
Okay.
Environmentally conscious, economically sustainable, welcoming, and comfortable.
Okay. Environmentally.
Okay, help me with that one. I was still writing the last one. Okay. Environmentally
conscious. Economically sustainable. What else did I say?
It was on your pamphlet for running for city council. That was.
Comfortable? Yeah, welcoming and comfortable.
Economically sustainable.
Economically sustainable.
Regional solution.
In which 95% of the passengers coming or going arrive within half an hour of their schedule.
Okay.
I like that one.
Regional solution. Achieves 95%.
So you're not
regional solution achieves 95%.
I'm
half hour.
Half hour arrival
of your destination.
Yeah.
And in the sense that we, I want to make sure that 95% of the passengers arrive within half an hour of their scheduled arrival or departure, and that we have looked at the regional aspects.
And rifles of arrival.
What?
Rifles and arrival. That you're,
in my opinion, I
okay.
No, that's, where do I go when
so
I?
So you just basically want to say, "Yo, I'm gonna have a strong backup plan for when a flight doesn't make it in."
Yeah, okay. I mean, anything that okay. gets people with on the ground or off the ground.
It's a very reasonable amount of time. So
half an hour.
Okay.
By the way,
you can take more notes right here.
Thank you.
The only thing that guarantees your connection. You're less than half an hour.
Giant sticky notes.
What?
You might get there, but you don't.
You're talking both ways, too, so take
in
off.
And out. In and out.
All right.
I think it has to be easy, because I think that from a resort community standpoint, mm-hmm. we want people to continue to choose to come here. And so by allowing the airlines to have competition, we have better airfares, and it's easier for people to choose to come here with better airfare, and easier for us to travel out of here with that. And so when the going gets tough, it has, even if it isn't an easy day, it has to feel easy.
So using the airport price of the airport, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just trying, trying to find short words to type.
I started here, I said they did make it easier with fares as one of the qualifiers.
Fares is one piece of it.
Other
and
qualifiers.
Then also just for the, you don't have to stand outside with your bags
okay.
and wait. For your okay. to be able to go through TSA.
So comfort or
and some efficiency, I think.
Efficiency. Okay.
Okay, efficiency. That's a good one.
But at the end of the day, I want people to be able to continue to choose to come here.
Okay.
And not feel like they can't. Like I don't want the airport in any way to be a barrier to entry. To
there you go. Okay. Remove all barriers.
The airport should be a convenient and comfortable experience that's inclusive and fits within the local environment.
Well, he's writing, what do you mean inclusive? What's that?
Inclusive of everybody, you know, locals, visitors, even different types of locals.
Okay. So inclusive in my mind means
it can also mean
accessible.
Lots of other
things. Yeah, it can be like ADA accessible, and that. What I remember from before is the pricing, and everyone can use it, and it's not just that.
It could be
is
both.
That, okay.
It could be both. That's
okay.
Like the beauty of a vision statement when you have a word like
okay.
that. It's kind of broad. Is mm-hmm.
Perfect.
You
okay.
can encapsulate a lot into it.
Okay. So we won't define it.
I think I might have missed the last. I got convenient, comfortable, inclusive experience, and there was something else I.
Fits within the local
fits
environment.
Within, okay. Okay.
Well, I think that 30 years from now, it shouldn't look like it's 30 years old. that there is an ability to upgrade it and to
keep it modernized. Okay.
You don't want to newer
okay.
it?
Oh,
newer.
Or look more new.
Look more new.
So terminal can be modern. And
ageless.
Ageless.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
Much
where
like
Aspen.
Where
do you come to? Yeah, that's right.
Botox, right?
Mm-hmm. No wrinkles.
If that's possible, I don't
know. I don't know.
It okay. might be they have maintenance, they have budget for maintenance.
Inspired.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There's something so fake about you said Newark. There's something like that's like an airport. There's something I go in there. It's just like it feels so synthetic, even though it's all the iPads and the restaurants. I can't see.
Feels like a iPad, an Apple bar.
Yeah, it's
bar.
Awful.
I mean, it's really cool, but it's, it definitely doesn't feel like an airport.
Yeah.
So I have an affordable, economically sustainable, and inviting airport integrated to the Valley's transportation infrastructure. And so tying into bus lines, Tony, no offense, I know you're a big fan of the gondola and light rail, but more rubber tire, private car, ride sharing, bus, and even bike. I'm one of the people who has bikes to an international flight from my house. But
seriously, only
good for you. That's impressive.
It's a great. I mean, it's,
I would never be able to do that.
We should all be very grateful how lucky we are to have this airport. It is absolutely spectacular for the size and the connectivity that we have right now. So sustaining that is going to be key.
So you just mentioned you want to focus more on rubber-tired solutions.
I want to integrate it.
Integrated with rubber-tired solutions.
Correct.
Now, doesn't that go against the values of Aspen being carbon emission-friendly? Yeah,
economically sustainable. So a $400 million light rail or a $300 million gondola probably doesn't make sense.
Electric cars and buses run on rubber tires.
So the numbers on the light rail, you're probably accurate on that, a billion, but the numbers are not right on the aerial. But that's a different discussion.
Yeah, we'll have the vision.
We just want to make sure we get the facts out there, too.
I go back to the future. It's back to the future. If you look at Orville Wright, 20 years later, Lindbergh was flying across the ocean. We need to have a flexible airport that's not necessarily, you know, fixed on this 8,000-foot run. We have swing-wing aircraft now, flex-wing aircraft. We're going to have super drones that are going to be buzzing all over.
Yay!
So the new airport Jetsons. Needs to be flexible and anticipating this in the future, and anticipating what's going to be here 30 years from now when you're building all of these concrete structures and runways. The second thing centers around the comfort and the hospitality as you're coming into this community. How is your transportation? How does the experience, I think, for a lot of incoming passengers and leaving as well, Aspen is not as welcoming, at least in the entrance and exit spots. And the third has to do with security, long-term. Security because currently there's a kind of a security lapse now. As Tony explains, there can be passengers who are not necessarily in a secured area. There are no secure people. And that needs to be taken care of immediately.
So the design?
Flexible, anticipate 30 years out, welcoming, secure.
Okay. All right.
I had a thought thinking about the transportation, and we're supposed to be looking out 30 years. I'm thinking we're all going to be in electric Ubers in 30 years.
Okay. So you're going to be wheelchairs.
Drivers?
I'll be dead, but some of you guys will be in electric Ubers. I'll be in an electric wheelchair. Yeah.
There was one thing that I want that was spoken about earlier, and you mentioned it, and I think that it maybe somewhat got dismissed, but I think that looking at the ABC and looking at the county and the city to maybe develop a set of incentives, because if we could encourage the development of maybe some restaurants or other types of those type of comfort providing services at the ABC might reduce the need to build that into the airport. I mean, it's accessible via an underpass. And if I had a 2-hour layover and I could walk over and there were a nice selection of shops and restaurants or something other than just, you know, industrial type businesses.
Right.
So maybe there is something that could be done. I mean, I think a smart developer may come in and look at that opportunity, but maybe there's some incentives or some things that could be done to make it more attractive to consider that.
Yeah.
ABC with the airport.
So I do think it's part of this discussion.
I used to live at the ABC. They had a restaurant in that, you know, where the grocery store is and all that liquor store.
All right.
They had a restaurant there. The theory was people would come across the street, go to the restaurant when things were bad or they just wanted something.
I mean, we've got WeCycle stations.
I don't think it worked. It really didn't work.
So sorry, you how know, long ago was that? I didn't catch. I was.
It was a while ago, but it went from a restaurant to a smaller restaurant to now it's like. What?
It's the grocery store.
Yeah, part of the grocery store where you grab things off a shelf.
Yeah.
So the restaurant wasn't able to sustain itself. Yeah. And that was John McBride's dream, was to have.
Well, let me just clarify because what I heard was incentivize, and that's
incentivize,
where where the county can have
that's
a role,
either
incentivizing or changing zoning in order to.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting we do any building there, but it could be. It just could be part of the thought process.
That's outside the scope of this, but
it's a recommendation to the county, to the board, that we can make that can you incentivize as part of the air to improve when we're improving everything else. So, with that...
There's also county owned land on the other side of 82, you know, where the big stack of snow is every year and the county barn is for all the vehicles. There are acres and acres of county owned land that could be used, and the county operates the airport. So there could be some way of using that land for airport purposes.
Like a hotel?
So with that, so we have about 15 minutes left before we're to be done. So I was actually just curious, since we've gone through everything, and Tom really loves writing, and I volunteered him for this experience the last time. Do you guys have any questions? I mean, and if you don't want to use the next 15 minutes, but, you know, any questions? Like, there were those that were written up. I mean, I'll write them down. I'll see if I can get an answer. It doesn't mean I can promise you an answer, but I can try and find something out. Just like, you know, I love to hear about this gates because there were so many, like, no, we're up to 10, no, we're at 7, no, it's at 4. So what is the, you know what I mean? Like, that's I think that's important stuff. Is there anything else like that? And if you guys don't have anything, feel free to go. But if you do, and you want to stay, talk about it, say you hear it.
I think you have more gates than pads for a plane to sit on.
Operationally, there's. I'll just give you a very quick answer to that. It's a good question. Most airports have what they call RON positions, remain overnight. These are airplanes that position. They position overnight so that they can come out, go out in the morning. So the actual gates that are marked are the places where the first flights go out. And as soon as they pull out, these other airplanes that are parked on the remain overnight pads, it basically just, it's not really a gate. It's just a parking spot for the airplane until it can be towed over to where the passengers get on.
But they still tow it over to another pad.
Correct. Yeah.
So they're going out
a
different
gate.
No, what we do in Aspen is that we have 4 gates or 5 gates, but there's a lot of vacant land, and so they park the planes down there, and that's not an official gate, but all of us, you walk down to the plane that's all the way down by the parking lot, and that's where the gates come into play. And then the other thing with gates is you have the ramp that goes from the plane into the terminal, and that is also considered like a gate, so to speak. And we don't have that here,
it's
but...
It's a matter of terminology, what you're calling
right.
it.
Right,
okay.
Most airports, it's more black and white because you have a contact gate. You have a loading bridge connecting the building to the fuselage. You don't have that here right now. So it's more... And this is actually very common in warm places, South America, other places where you have hard stands. And you might get bussed out to climb up the ladder or whatever. Here you walk out on the tarmac and you go up
walk to the end.
You go up the stairs. So it's a little more ambiguous, but it's very common for airports to have space off to the side for planes to simply park and wait for a position to go in. Or in the case of Aspen, which is not a huge airport, you just make people walk a little further.
As I understand it, the things that we have control over locally are from the apron to the airport itself, the terminal itself. The taxiways and runways, we don't have a lot of flexibility, but we can have a big influence on what the terminal is.
Yes.
Correct, and how you design your terminal can, whether you don't technically have influence over that, but if you make it one gate airport, then you have efficiently done what you want to do, you know, limited your ability for the runway. So the FAA, am I correct in that?
The airfield is, if you're looking to limit anything, the runway isn't the place. But you can size the terminal so that it only allows so many flights and passengers in, because you have things like fire code that you have to pay very close attention to.
I would be most interested in what the number of planes that could come and go, commercial planes, not private planes,
okay.
if we were a level 2 airport.
Versus
as
a level,
opposed to level 3.
Versus
we're
the
now 2.5.
Okay.
We're now an exception.
Yes.
So I'd be
very
interested.
We can't stay there. That's what I'm understanding, is we can't stay there. You have to choose one or
yeah,
the
but
other.
We haven't discussed
whatever
that,
you
so
want.
I think
yeah.
it would be very interesting
I believe
to know what 2 would be as opposed to 3.
Okay. I will we'll write that down and I will get that back. Yeah. So the amount of commercial planes
could come in
that can
to
come
level
in
two.
To a level 2
as
versus
to a
level
3,
yeah. and how we know how many come in right now,
yeah.
type of thing. So
but
then we can
5.
See how many do we lose. And
yes, because we're
you don't have to gain
any.
Yeah, you're 2.5.
Yeah.
Yes, you're a non-standard 2 is what you are.
We're
yeah.
2.5, essentially.
Yes.
So we don't fit in any of either category. And,
correct.
I'd just be very curious as to what actually that means.
And so, and just to be clear, when we give you the numbers for like what you have right now,
yeah,
even
yeah.
if you go up to an ADG3, it does not mean that you will have more people.
Right.
It, you can right. stay by right-sizing your terminal. You can stay right where you are.
Yeah.
We can go down to an ADG2, and I will work to find
Thank
out
you.
Those numbers.
Thank
yes.
you. So,
yes, sorry.
Quick question. Kind of related to that. I've heard overseas, you know, like Heathrow, they're always like the landing slots. They're like, well, we're trying to get this landing. There's like all the horse trading. I never really hear about that directly in the U.S. Is that a...
There are a number of slot-controlled airports, mostly in the Northeast.
Okay.
For that very reason. Washington National is that way. Yes, airlines bid on slots. Sometimes they buy and sell them on the market. They do not exist here in Aspen. And they don't exist at most airports of this size. It's only the most congested airports.
Heathrow
being
a classic example. Not a way to throttle traffic.
It is a way. It's a way to manage the demand so that it's more organized.
Gotcha.
I think instead of focusing on gates. In number of flights, we should be focusing on embarkations. How many people can get on and off? You might have
employments and
employments. Okay. You can have a Twin Otter come in. That's one flight. You could have an Airbus A220 come in, and that's 110 passengers. So the size of the plane.
Okay.
A flight of a smaller plane brings in fewer passengers. Correct. And requires 2 flights of a Twin Otter would require 2 gates, but have less emplacements than the next gen Airbus A220.
Okay.
Yeah, good observation. You are correct.
I have a question. We're going over airport, what we want on the inside and what we want the experience to be,
mm-hmm.
and obviously they haven't built the airport yet, so it can be this or this. Or,
mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing is set in stone at this point. My question is, based on what they do at the Pictou County Airport, will that have an effect on the private side with regard to what happens over there?
With scheduled mm-hmm. commercial service?
I'm talking about...
So if we affect the number of gates... is that what you're talking about? If you go over to
the private side,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a big living room with a door.
Okay.
There are no gates.
Right. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So, but you know, a lot of large jets go in and out of there. I'm just curious as to whether what's done with the airport might have a negative or positive effect on that side
okay.
of the airport. And as a reason I'm asking
just
the question.
Just a question,
so.
Yeah. Okay. So can our design
affect
private?
Right.
Okay.
And the reason I ask is, somebody told me something at one of the other meetings, which I found quite disturbing, which was, I asked them about what do you think planes are going to be able to land here and so on and so forth. I realize that's out of the experience. But he said to me, there are 30 billionaires that live in this valley. whatever planes they want to come in here are going to come in. And the theory was, while we go to the FAA and we give them what we want and they tell us what we can do and all this of that stuff, they're actually having dinner with senators and congressmen and whatnot. And what I was told was, wherever they want, that's what's coming in.
The county owns the airport.
I understand that, but...
And the taxpayers vote for the county and the representatives. So I think that's a... To me, that's a bit of an alarmist type perspective.
Right, I understand. Yeah. But again, it's, you know, the
that is one of the rumors, one of the myths flying around.
You heard that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of fake news flying around.
My experience planning airports for 30 years is I have not seen that. It's an interesting theory.
I mean, certainly they can lobby and have influence.
Of course.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to stop anybody. But
right. It's ultimately up to the county commissioners.
Yeah. And lobbyists that they want in D.C.? Absolutely. But
an airport is designed to certain standards, and pilots are required to comply with standards. And if they don't, they lose their ticket. And the pilot is usually not the billionaire sitting in the back, but they do that for a living, and they don't want to lose their ticket. They just don't do that.
No, but if a 3-foot wider runway is going to make a difference as to whether I can fly my private jet in here, and I'm having dinner and lunch and hobnobbing with all of these senators and congressmen, I'm going to be talking to them about it. Aspen is a destination for a lot of high rollers.
It's a publicly owned, public use airport, and the rules are pretty strict. I have seen examples of wealthy individuals or groups of individuals build their own airports. That does happen, but they're paying for that with their own money. They're flying that at their own risk. It's a different scenario than what you have here. This is publicly owned, public use airport. It's open to everybody, but you have to follow the rules.
That raises my hackles of a billionaire sticking his head into the cockpit saying, land here, land. If we have to go around, we're going to miss this party. And 18 souls die at the the airport. So that idea that money moves things is so abhorrent to me.
Can I ask? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A critical question is, who or what construction company is going to execute this? You know, very experienced person, company such as the Hong Kong airport that was recently finished on schedule. You know, so who you recruit to execute the plan? I think it's going to be important.
That'll be a public bidding process.
Yeah, that's public.
We're a ways out from there. It has to be designed, and it'll be a public bidding process that has to go to a responsible bidder.
Correct.
By rule.
Hopefully John Peacock will still be in charge then.
A technical question, or somewhat technical question, that I've been thinking about is, will, in the development or in the transformation of the airport, and it comes to do with the FBO, and the aspect of safety. Okay. I was lucky enough to tag on a private plane once that my boss invited me on, and there was absolutely no screening of any kind. And to me, that just struck me as an exceptionally vulnerable opportunity for somebody to wreak havoc in the commercial side of the airport by sneaking something in deadly into the private side of the airport. So what steps is the FAA taking, or could we ask them to take to improve security on the private side?
That's a great question.
GSA. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Security on
GSA. It's wonderful over on that side of the airport. They got comfortable chairs.
People
just walk right through the
door. Myself as a pilot, I drive onto the airport all the time.
I've experienced the same thing.
So the difference is 30 passengers or greater, you have to go through security, and under that, you don't curve.
Right. But to me, it seems like it would open up the door to somebody unscrupulous to do something.
You're taking that for the nation.
And he could take off, make a circle, and land. Not on the airline. Not where he's supposed to.
Well, that's a...
Or she, not to be sexist.
This is me. Do you have to change that for the nation, or can it be a Pitkin County local, like, mm-hmm. No, you're here and you have to go through
it? Or security's tighter.
Yeah, security. Okay.
don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out.
I think federal government trumps local government.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I think we can find out about that.
Does have something to say about that.
Okay. We have time for one more question.
Okay, what can we do about the airport experience for this coming winter? Do we have any influence right now to make some changes, security-wise, safety-wise? And John Kinney has a plan, an idea, and can we as a group move that forward? Because this isn't going to happen for another 10 years.
It's the county moves it forward.
Brian Pettit?
Yeah, and I think you consistently brought it up. What's the interim plan before this is built?
Right.
And so I think that Kinney's taking the lead on trying to figure out what the interim
is he?
Ideas. Yes.
Because he's been, he hasn't had much momentum. I mean, he's trying, but he hasn't had the
So I don't
support.
Know that it's this group's responsibility, but Kinney's
no,
been,
yeah.
he's on
it. I didn't think it was, but if we could, like, push it, help him. Yeah.
I see another trailer on cinder blocks.
No, the tent's like they have in DIA.
For you. You don't know. Yeah. So,
That's where I first worked at the airport.
We are adjourned.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Nice job, everybody. Thank you.